Genghis Khan is remembered as one of history's most brutal and bloodthirsty tyrants, but you may feel a bit more kindly toward the 13th century warlord after you've seen Sergei Bodrov's new film. It's called Mongol, and it opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the Landmark Sunshine. I'm delighted that it brings the acclaimed Russian filmmaker Sergei Bodrov to this show today. Hello.
Hello.
Since Russia was conquered by the Mongols and spent 200 years under their rather oppressive rule, I would have thought that you would have been predisposed to dislike Genghis Khan.
Do not, it was a challenge, of course, for me to make this movie because Genghis Khan, or Mongolian will say in Russian also, Chinggis Khan, one of the most not popular name in Russia, not beloved at all.
And what did you learn in school?
I learned in school that he was a really bad guy. Mm-hmm. But in the same time, I learned in school that Stalin was a really kind man, yeah. So I was suspicious, yeah. Don't know. And later I started to look for different sources, and I didn't believe that he was born as a monster, you know, my hero. So, and I found a great story about his childhood and about his young years.
Well, there have been any number of films in Russian history that have been about people who were monsters, who are humanized. Ivan the Terrible by Eisenstein is one of the great ones. But in this one, you're writing about the time we don't normally associate with his life. Do we know much about that period? Was there any written record that you could go to?
Not so much. Do know, but basically his history was written by his enemies, Russians and Europeans. And you have to be skeptical about this because they portrayed him very badly for some reasons, I believe. Do know, it's difficult to say, look, we were weak. We were not good soldiers. Our spirit was not strong enough. It's easy to say, oh, it's a primitive barbarian people came and they're evils.
But did they have a written language of the Mongols?
No.
So the history is only written, as you said, by his enemies. So that would make it difficult to research the life. So how did you come up with this story?
It was, you know, one source was discovered only 150 years ago. It was a Mongolian source, but already translated to Chinese. It was a poem, but it was interesting pieces of his life. Some pieces were missing, which is also for me was a challenge to fill the
ten-year gap.
Yeah,
10 so year you gap. You could put him anywhere you wanted.
Yeah. But do know, I was thinking if I will know the character, do know, I will understand the logic.
And you put him through lots of trials and tribulations before he becomes a great leader.
You know, it's happened in his life. He was orphaned, he was slave, he was an underdog, he was hunted man, you know, for all his young years.
And he was known during his life as Temujin?
Temujin, yeah.
When did he become Genghis Khan?
In 1205 or 6, I believe.
So after he was already the great leader.
He became, kind of Mongolian great Khan.
Now, this is an epic film full of battles and struggles, but it's also a love story at the heart of it. How much is really known about his relationship with his first wife, Borte?
It was known that, and I believe it's just a great story, it was known that he picked up her when he was 9 years old. He picked up her from the Roan tribe. He was supposed to marry for another tribe. It was kind of his father tried to make a deal with another tribe because he kidnapped his mom, you know, from another tribe.
So this would have been a marriage that would have evened the score.
Yeah, absolutely.
And made peace.
But the boy, I think he chose his destiny. It was amazing because he was stick with his decision and it's changed his life.
Now, you deal a lot with Mongol customs. Did some of these customs continue throughout the centuries? Are there things that you could have drawn upon from the 16th, 17th, 18th, even the 20th century?
It's interesting. Do you know, like, we did know about this, but some of the Mongolian rules, they exist now. Do you know, one of the Mongolian rules, what he established, for example, don't kill ambassadors, don't kill my messengers. I'm sending people to talk. People used to kill the messengers, or we didn't want to talk, let's just kill them.
So we think of him as a very brutal person, and he was. He killed thousands and thousands. But you're suggesting that perhaps he was less brutal than somebody else might have been?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think we are sometimes very ignorant, you know, because we would love to kind of judge a person who was fighting 800 years ago on his horses and with a sword and looking at the enemy eyes. I think for me this was the worst century was the 20th century, like one war, second war, Nazis camps, Holocaust, Stalin's camp, nuclear bombs, chemical weapons. Do you know? And it was so close. And
well, so many millions died.
Yeah, some millions died.
Between Hitler, Stalin, and Mao.
Yeah.
And then all sorts of other things that were happening in the rest of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The atomic bomb.
Yeah. And we're thinking we're sophisticated people, do you know, and we can judge everybody. Do you know? I think it's a shame.
My guest is Sergei Bodrov, who is the director, one of the writers and producers of Mongol, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the Landmark Sunshine. I mentioned that this is a love story about him and his wife, and much of it has to do with them trying to get back together again and again. But he did have hundreds of wives by the end of his career, and a recent study reveals that 8% of the men in a wide swath of Asia and parts of Europe are his direct descendants. They carry his DNA.
16 million people, yeah.
Wow.
It's a pretty big number.
But of course, this story is before then. And in this story, he has to swallow something very difficult. It's suggested that his first child was conceived when his wife was in captivity.
Yeah, but he was very interesting and open-minded man. Yeah, you know, it's happened, and he said from the beginning, it's my son. Yeah, you know,
he just took him as his son and his successor.
Absolutely, because his wife, she was kidnapped, and he fought for her, but it's happened only 1 year later.
You've done a lot of screenwriting over your career. Why did you decide to collaborate on this script with Arif Aliyev?
Arif Aliyev, my co-writer, and I worked with him on my movie Prisoner of the Mountains, and it was a good collaboration.
That was a Leo Tolstoy novel?
Yeah, Leo Tolstoy novel.
So do you like in fact, that one was Russia's entry for the best foreign language film in 1995 for the Oscars. Film is always collaboration, but in a film like this, would it have been possible for you to have done everything?
No. It's absolutely impossible. And since God, I had a really close people, my team, very loyal and passionate about this project. And my cinematographers, casting director, production designer. But also was a huge crew, like 600 people and 40 translators on the set for zero.
And a lot of extras as well, because you have
1,000 horses and extras, yeah.
And casting must have been rather difficult. I doubt that there is much of a Mongolian acting tradition.
No, yeah, I don't know, but I am not afraid to work with non-professionals, and I love to work with the kids. And I was lucky just to find my kids in Mongolia. You know, the real Mongolians, and the boy who plays Yan Timujin, he was born in the saddle, and very strong, no complaints. Production was so tough. He was shy in the beginning, but after we spoiled him, and he became a little calm.
And then the woman who plays his wife, Borta, she's also a non-professional. She's absolutely stunning.
She's stunning.
How'd you find
her? Yeah, no, we found her on the streets of Ulaanbaatar, capital of Mongolia. She was a student, never acted before. It took time for her, I just, again, she was right for the part, and we ended up, I think, very good.
On the other hand, Temujin, Genghis Khan, is played by a Japanese actor, and his best friend and enemy, I don't know how to describe it, but the other major figure, is a Chinese actor. Now, what language are they all speaking?
They all speak in Mongolian language, because it was part of the deal, yeah, for two actors. And I was thinking they were great and absolutely right for the part, and I didn't care about their nationality. I just wanted to find the best people. But they, I said to them, look, you have to learn Mongolian. You know, that's it. And
so
know,
is it is learn. It difficult for a Japanese actor to learn Mongolian and Chinese?
Difficult. Of course.
Totally different language?
Difficult. It was difficult. He started to learn lines by lines, the dialogue, but I don't know. I like to change the lines, and he was upset, but he was learning again. And but in then, you know, he started to talk with Mongolian actors.
They not only had to act in a different language, so they also had to ride horses and do all sorts of other things. And it's obvious that while I'm sure you had a lot of stunt people, some of it was done by them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I brought 50 people, stunts people from Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, and they came with their own horses. And you know, I worked with them before. They're amazing. They were devoted to the movie because it's their history, you know, like they, and they were fearless people also.
This must also be a fabulous place to shoot films. You shot it on the steps? So dramatic.
I think we found amazing places sometimes, breathtaking locations, but it was also difficult because remote locations. And
so there were no towns nearby?
Did you have towns. We stayed in the tents, and to some locations we had to build the roads.
Yeah. You built the roads?
Built the roads, but don't know, like 4 miles, don't know, 6 miles, but it's still, don't know, it was a job.
Well, this can't be an inexpensive project. How do you get financed for something like this?
Don't know. It was movie was more expensive than we could afford. Yeah, don't know. But we started with a $12 million, which wasn't enough. Yeah, but and we shoot first year, and I knew we had to stop. But don't know. I was thinking we have to start. Yeah, you have to start the battle. Yeah, and after.
So you started, and then you took a little
and
break
after,
until you got some
not
more money.
A little break for a year. I took a break for a year.
Wow.
To regroup my army, to find more money, and to be more prepared for the final battle.
Although, since the story takes place over such a long time, it isn't like you were taking a break and then trying to pick up the next day.
Yeah, but still, it was a risky move. Yeah, it's not your usual smooth production.
What about working with the local people? Was everybody just perfectly happy for this invasion of a film crew?
No, you usually do not. I was working, like I told, 600 people, a lot of Chinese, and they're hardworking people. Do not, it was no complaints. But of course, sometimes it was psychological problems. I brought, for example, 200 Russians also, and in the middle of the shoot, suddenly my Russians came to me very angry, and they said, and we're nowhere, like 12 hours from the town by car. And they said to me, look, we're fed up with the Chinese food. We hate chopsticks, bring us Russian food and spoons and knives. And I was really just, I couldn't understand it because I love Chinese food, and I can use chopsticks, yeah. But you have to deal with this, and you have to send car and after plane to bring spoons and forks. Yeah,
And then you had to negotiate deals with the local shaman.
It was a special movie. It was even before the movie we started to shoot. My Mongolian friends, they told me, look, we ask you, it's very important before the shooting, you have to go to the head of Mongolian shaman and to ask permission to shoot. And look, if you're in Rome, do as a Romans. If you're Mongolia, do as Mongolians do. And I was thinking it was absolutely right step.
Wasn't Mongol supposed to be the first in a trilogy? Were you going to follow Genghis Khan throughout his full life?
No, I started this movie, and I called this like a Mongol Part One. I was thinking it sounds good. So after I finished the movie, and it was very bloody production, and people started to ask me, "Oh, where will be Mongol next?" I said, "No way, I done. I don't want to do anymore." No, I'm tempted now. It's a story not finished. It's still great stories to tell about this man.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful adventure film as well.
Oh, yeah, and it was adventure.
Your last film was also a historical epic, Nomad. So is that where you want to go these days? Have you been bitten by the historic bug?
No, it's all depends of the story. Yeah. Don't know. It was a great story about Genghis Khan. I have few more projects. I want to make movie, for example, about Osip Mandelstam, a great Russian poet who was killed in the Stalin's camp, like a great poet, a great man, who wasn't afraid, write.
But he's well known in this country.
Yeah. And it's on my wish list for many years. So it's not for me just only like big epic movies. I will do.
Well, you also
different.
You made a suspense film in English called The Quickie, with Dean Stockwell, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Leslie Ann Warren, and only one major Russian, Vladimir Mashkov. So do you like making films in different languages? Russian, English, Mongolian?
It all goes to the story. It was movie The Quickie, and I like this movie very much, and it was a great cast. And it was more about Russian mafia guys, yes, so set in Malibu. It was in Russian English.
How difficult is it to make films in Russia these days? During the communist years, of course, everything was controlled by the government, but the studios were available to the favored directors and the kinds of casts of thousands that you wanted to have in a film like this. Has everyone adjusted? Films made the same way that they're made in other Western countries?
No, not everybody adjusted, but you can find now private money. Like Russia is now a rich country, a lot of, as we know, oil, money from the oil, and people...
It will last a little while.
Yes. And people now they're ready to invest money in the movies, because some of now Russian movies very successful in Russia. So on me, but I I'm Russian director, but I'm working around the world. It's for me, it's again, I'm more interested in the good stories. And I can enjoy because my movies usually distributed around the world, so I can enjoy. I can find money. I'm not feeling pressure to do what I asked to do for any reasons.
Sergei Bodrov's latest film is called Mongol. It opens today at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the Landmark Sunshine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.